Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Noon straight up with Gresh and Keith. Welcome in on this Tuesday on Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original, WEEI. Good afternoon to all the affiliates out there all across New England. Let's talk some football. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is our buddy Patriots insider Tommy Curran, brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tommy, good afternoon. How are you, friend?
What's up, my guy? How are you? How's Richard?
I'm very good, thank you.
All is good. And I don't know if you heard Julian Edelman on the I Am Athlete podcast, but I guess I know the answer. However, my duty as a pseudo-journalist makes me ask you, anything to Edelman romanticizing about maybe coming back and looking at what all of his friends are doing and have done and thinking that he can get back out there? I'm not buying it. What did you make of that comment?
I'm not really buying it either, you know, in talking at length, both, you know, really to his family and the people closest to him last year. He was very much at peace with it. I think between the Showtime deal, his ability to go on different podcasts, whether it's I Am Athlete or be involved with Barstool or all the different things that he does, I don't think that he needs it. I don't think that he necessarily wants it. He might feel as if his body says it. But he's bone on bone. He had a bone chip which dislodged and stuck itself behind his knee. And that's not going to stop happening. So I think it's highly unlikely that we will see Julian Edelman coming back. But I think he's tearing a page from, the Gronk and Brady book. Might as well keep yourself in the headlines with maybes.
Oh, 100%. And I don't think he's coming back either. But just for the sake of discussion, if he did come back, more likely to be with the Patriots or with the Bucks?
He just loves Belichick. He loves everything about Belichick. I think it would be with the Patriots, if any place at all. He loves everything about the Patriots. I would be staggered if Julian Edelman ever came back to a team other than the Patriots. And I'd be pretty stunned, too, if he ever came back at all.
Tommy, do you think there could be something, though, just in terms of these guys once they get over 30? Gronk took a year off, felt good, came back. Edelman was doing the, hey, man, I feel great after a year off. Dante Hightower, he missed the pandemic year for different reasons, but he came back, he didn't look the same. I'm wondering if there's a world in the NFL where so much has changed. Like, you never used to be able to come out for a concussion, God forbid. Now you go into the dark room and all that. Could we ever see a time in the NFL where if it isn't load management, it's a player saying, hey, let me take a year off so I know I can get 2 more years out of the end of my career? Or in that business, is that just too dangerous for a player to try to do?
No, I think that the elite can do it. Like, Gronk didn't retire because his body had given out, his mind had given out, his patience with the way things were done, his enthusiasm had waned to such an extent that he was trying to force his way, as we saw, out of New England. You know, Hightower took the year off because, you know, I think that he looked at his landscape. He was welcoming, if I'm not mistaken, a new child at that time. Mm. And just, you know, he had won 3 Super Bowls. there was uncertainty as to how they were even going to navigate the season and how long guys would have to sit in the parking lot waiting to get PCR tests to go into the facility every single day. I think a lot of players looked at that and said, we're in a rebuild at that team. Tom Brady's elsewhere. Do I want to go back and go through all that or protect my family? So I think those two instances are far different. And I think with Edelman, it is health. It is asking your body to come back. Now, I think it's a good question because there is so much beating that these guys take to take a year off at 31 or 32. We've seen guys get hurt for a year, come back and be sharp as hell because they had the year off to let their entire body heal. So it's a good conversation, but I don't think in Edelman's case it applies.
All right, simple question with maybe not a simple answer. Who is the best player on the Patriots?
I love this. We talked about this last night on Early Edition, thanks to old Drew Hart. It's Mac Jones. Mac Jones is their best player.
Wow.
He's their most productive. He's their most cerebral, I would think. He's got the most responsibility and has represented well with the responsibility he has. So it's Mac Jones fairly easily. Andrew.
Who's number two?
Wow. Fairly easily, he says.
Wow.
I am surprised by that, but I think it's one of those ones, Tom, where you would probably get, if you ask 10 people this question, you might get seven different answers.
Let me see what the list I sent in last night was. Hold on.
Okay. He's pulling it up now.
Wow, you think Rich seven different, you get seven different players?
I wouldn't have Mac Jones in my top five. And Tom says he's his number one easily.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on this.
Absolutely cuckoo.
It is. It is a little cuckoo.
Mine.
Yep, all right.
Here's mine. I went Mac, Judon, McCourty, Henry, Duggar, Bourne, Myers, Andrews, Barmore, Brown.
Wow.
And Trent Brown's down there because even though he might be the most dominant at his position among all of them, can't play half the season. I don't care how the best definition. Best doesn't cut it if you can't play enough games. So that's why he's that far down.
Well, the best ability is availability.
That's
a good list.
Bill Belichick has driven that home as well. What are your expectations for Judon? Good.
Bill went Mac, Barmore, Trent Brown. He had Ramondre Stevenson at number four.
Wow.
Then he went Judon, Bourne, Myers, McCourty, Andrews, and Hunter Henry. Neither of us had Jonnu Smith in there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I would not expect Jonnu to make it in there.
That's fair.
It's interesting because I think for, I personally think for a lot of folks, like I'm with Tom, it's Mac, and then it's Judon. Whatever order you want to put him in is fine. And then you get down to number three. And then it is who's the vested veteran?
Adrian Phillips.
That's where probably McCourty gets.
Oh, my God. Adrian Phillips, actually, that's an oversight. He probably should be in there ahead of maybe Andrews, maybe not.
Well,
maybe Myers, maybe not.
But but it's funny you said that, Tom, because for me it's more like I view Phillips as more of a bit player than like a starter. Now maybe I'm
off on that
because of his role.
You're off on
that. But I would have Duggar on. I would have Duggar higher on this list before Phillips.
Yeah, Phil didn't have Duggar on at all. I had Duggar at like five.
I think Duggar's going to have a big year.
I like Duggar.
Duggar's going to have a big year, Tommy.
You know, it's hard to leave Folk off as well.
Yeah, I mean, for what you're asking him to do,
he is that proficient at his position.
These nails.
You know, when Belichick talked about the 2001 Patriots, he talked about, you know, putting the ball, his comfort with putting the ball on the foot of his best player, which was Vinatieri. So he might view it that way. Who's your best player? Who's your most proficient at a particular position? Hey, you know what? Can I veer back conversationally to the Edelman stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
I find that so interesting because we don't only just get a peek into how the team felt about Jimmy. It's as those important players are feeling that way about Jimmy, and Brady's in exile for a four-game suspension, and he had just taken a thrashing, and he's 39 years old. Belichick's resistant to giving him a long-term contract. That, to me, probably galvanized the team behind Brady. Meanwhile, Belichick is so sold on Jimmy that really, I think, sowed a lot of what happened. And in the end, Brady's performance in 2016 – in the early part of 2017, saved Belichick from himself, and the savior eventually comes in the form of Mac Jones 4 years later. It's just fascinating when we look at how out the Patriots players were on Jimmy.
Do you think Bill knew that during in 2016? Because my big hang-up is that they waited so long to trade Garoppolo, and I think they could have gotten more, not to relive this, but they could have traded him in the offseason after 16. And if he knew that the whole team was like, this guy's soft, wouldn't that have kind of sped up him dealing him? Or do you think he was unaware of it?
Even if he was aware of it, I don't think that he would have put a lot of stock in it. That's just not the way he operates. You know, you speak when you're spoken to. If I want any of your crap, I'll squeeze your head, which is what my father used to say. He doesn't care. Doesn't care what your opinion is. He saw what he needed to see in the five quarters from Jimmy. He saw what he needed to see in the three previous years, 14, 15, and well, two previous years, 14 and 15. He had a cheaper guy. He had a smart guy. He had a guy who wasn't growing jaded with the operation. That was his guy. And really, and I'm writing about this because, you know, you remember in November of 16, Belichick circles back. This is a month after that. Jimmy taps out and he says, you know, we have a good quarterback in Jimmy, and Jimmy can go out there and run everything Tom can run. We've seen that. I'm not saying he's capable. He's not capable or qualified to do it. We put Jimmy in there. It's really seamless. And he just went on and on. He was so sold, there was no moving him off his spot.
It's interesting because I've always had the theory that he traded him to San Francisco to take away Brady's mistress, and Brady still left anyway.
He did.
Because he's devious like that, you know? To me is a part of what runs through the mind of Bill Belichick. So, Tommy, I want to circle back. So, we got Brady, we got Judon, Duggar is in the mix for you as well. Which one of those defensive guys? If for a lot of us, it's either and McCourty's going to be McCourty, we know that, and he'll be used differently. But in terms of Duggar and Judon, who do you think has the more productive year between those two?
Duggar, I think, in a different way. It won't show up statistically, but, you know, talent-wise, athletically, I think that he is a better fit for what they want to do, and they're developing him in that way. You know, it sticks out to me that when Kyle Van Noy was on with Chris Long on the Green Light podcast last year, Chris Long said, you know, I've never seen any player be allowed to run the loop, which means to run up around the tackle and then behind the quarterback, the way that Judon was. And he is an anomaly in the way the Patriots allow him to play, which is to not set the edge. I mean, he does do that, of course, but he got a lot more leeway to play the position in a way that the Patriots don't often sign off on. And by the end of the year, it wasn't as beneficial to the defense, and they were getting run on, and he wasn't as productive. And I had him as, you know, through 13 games, I'm like, hey, shouldn't he be considered as a defensive player of the year? The Patriots, one of the best defenses. They were crushing horrible teams. So I think that Duggar is a better player, and Judon's very talented, but he can't be the guy that he wants to be here. So he's going to have to meet them in the middle.
Let's hope he does. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston with us each and every week talking football. Thank you, Tommy.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great holiday. I really think the more I keep thinking about it, Duggar's a light linebacker.
Yeah.
He's more of probably like the old weak side linebacker that you used to see in the traditional 4-3 defense where your Sam or strong side backer was the guy who helped take on the run. Your middle backer could run all over the place. And then your weak side backer had the ability to match up, play a tight end, all that kind of stuff. I know tomorrow we're going to get into the best players and all that across the league and with each team and all that stuff. But
can he, I think one of his real issues his first year, and it's gotten better, but I think if you're going to have him on the field as much as they're going to and sort of treat him like a big linebacker, is you would think that safety would have an advantage on tight ends and covering tight ends, and that wasn't really the case. Like, I think that was maybe the biggest shock to him because he's such a big physical safety, and then I think just the speed and quickness of NFL tight ends versus what he was used to at
D2
my
God, is
just
night
and
such
day.
Him play what he can play, play the run early and then morph into the other stuff.
I think he's probably better off doing that.
Yeah, and look, I think Duggar's one of those guys that's got a chance to jump out. But I have a funny feeling. I just go back to, I think they're going to be able to cover people. I'm not worried about that. To me, the big issue is they couldn't stop the run last year
at all.
And if the linebacking spot is going to morph or evolve, after Duggar and whatever other bigger linebacker you have on the field, is the defensive line just better equipped to slow down the run? Because if they're not, that's going to be a fatal flaw for them, because they're clearly not built, I don't think, to put a bunch of linebackers on the field. That's when teams say, all right, fine, we'll go to three wide, we'll spread you out, we'll take advantage of some of these dudes that can't move, kind of thing.
Yeah, it can't be much worse than it was at times last year. Even with, like, sort of the bigger linebackers, they were just a little bit slower.
Yes.
So now you've got a little bit smaller, but I don't know, maybe you're faster, and if you do get better play out of your defensive line, then
you
got to
be better up front,
yeah,
is really what it was. Too. Like, that was the biggest issue and the biggest thing, the least for me, mm-hmm. I'm looking at heading into this Patriots season. We will get to some Red Sox. We've got a really good key for madness. At 12:45, the latest on Deshaun Watson, and there is some icky details that are coming out even more on this guy. It's pretty crazy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Bolt throws and a swing and a drive into center field. Bradley back on it at the track at the wall. It's gone. Here's the 2-2. Swing and a drive into center field. Jackie back at the track. Jackie at the wall. It's gone.
Here's the pitch and it swung on a drive to left field. Way back. This one is long gone. Here it is. And he swings it. It's one high to right center field. Zimmer moving back in front of the track. Has it lined up. Makes the catch. And the ball game is over, and so is the Red Sox 7-game win streak.
That's what it sounded like last night in Toronto. Connor Siebold, not so good.
You know, he didn't have it. I mean, you know, facing Vlad Guerrero, you don't see a lot of those guys with the Woo Sox, so.
It's a pretty good lineup there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
Yep, in Toronto. Red Sox lose 7-2. They're back at it tonight right here on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Network. And, Dan Shaughnessy today in the Globe was getting on the unvaccinated Sox because if we remember the last time the Red Sox went to Toronto, it really threw the pitching staff kind of into turmoil for like a week and a half.
Yeah, it did not go well. And spare me your, that's a stupid rule. It's the rule up in Toronto, up in Canada. So those guys can't go. And Tanner Houck not going the last time clearly impacted one of those games where Garrett Whitlock had to start. He could have come in later and whatever and closed out the game. So now this time around, Tanner Houck is essentially your closer. He's got like six saves now on the season, and he has found a good role for himself. And Jaron Duran has been a good leadoff hitter. He's been getting on that was a void. When they were losing games, what was Kike Hernandez hitting, like 90? Like, he was horrible at
the
top spot.
He was really bad.
And this isn't the only reason why they turned it around, but I like Duran at the top of the order.
Him and Ref Snyder seem to be okay at the top of the order, kind of ping-ponging back and forth. But, like, you know, it's kind of a law of diminishing returns. Like, at some point, they'll kind of level off a little bit.
Especially Ref Snyder.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, you want to be able to have every guy available to you. And when you're already dealing with injuries like Nathan Eovaldi and Garrett Whitlock and you're waiting for those guys to return, kind of amazing they had the month of June that they had without those guys in the rotation. But now you just take two other players who have been helping you out for the last few weeks. You take them out. It's not ideal.
I think they asked Duran whenever he came up and he said he was unvaccinated and it was the, you know, I'm still gathering information. It's like, well, we got 2 years of it, and the Red Sox have plenty of it. So, again, like, it is what it
Alex
is.
Alex Cora does commercials on our air all the time about it.
Is anybody going to, like, follow up with him on that in, like, a week or two? No. Be like, how's your research going, Jaron?
Yeah,
but anything else you've uncovered?
Yeah, there'll be none, of course.
The same guy for the linebacker, I forget his name now, for the Washington.
Chase Young?
No, it wasn't Chase Young.
Montez Sweat.
It was Montez Sweat for the Commanders. He was unvaccinated, and Ron Rivera brought in the creator of either Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, one of the two. Like, the person who created it, like, brought him in to speak to the team, and after that, Montez Sweat said he was still researching his own stuff.
Right.
You're like, you couldn't get any, you had access, which most of us don't have, to ask them any kind of question at all about side effects or whatever else.
In a private environment where you're not going to be shamed for asking a question.
So I don't know if that's really why Montez Sweat didn't get it or why Jaron Duran didn't get it. But I just hope
the pitching staff doesn't get sort of thrown sideways a little bit because of all of this. And the other thing, too, you know, in listening to Marloni Fourier and Mego here on WEEI, they talk to Alex Cora every week. And once Houck started to establish himself as the closer, the word structure came up a lot. I know Christian brought it up. Now Alex Cora is saying it, almost admitting, like, hey, now that we think we've got a closer, it's actually better for the structure of our team and the structure of the bullpen. And hopefully they can get back to that after this series in Toronto.
I think they only have one more trip the rest of the year, and it's the second to last series of the season. So can you imagine if there's a scenario where they need those games and Chris Sale, Tanner Houck, and Jaron Duran can't play? I don't know. That would be a bigger deal. Because this is like three games, not ideal, just like it wasn't before. But there's 162 games. And I think it's not like a football player missing one game. It's not like that. It's a little bit different. And I think people can kind of look the other way, especially if the Sox can bounce back and win a game or two in the series. It's not the end of the world. But fast forward to September 30th. Through October 2nd in Toronto.
Ooh.
And if they're a half game out of a playoff spot or a half game up or something like that.
Or if it's like the Celtics where it was you might have to play a playoff game there or a playoff series there or not. Oh, my God. People will be gripping then. 12:27, we will get to Kiefer Madness in mere moments at 617-779-7937. By the way, Red Sox Talk, Congression Keefe, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Book your appointment today at awaken180weightloss.com. All right, against my better judgment.
How do you think this is going to go?
Here is Sorgia in Mansfield with Gresham Keefe to have something Celtics related. Hello, Sorgia. Oh my God.
You getting a lift in? You getting a pump?
Come on, Sorgia.
You getting some shots up?
Oh my God, I think he's sleeping.
I think he fell asleep.
I might have fell asleep. Well, that's what happens when you wake up at 4:30 to get a pump in.
Well, he was also going to call to talk about Evan Fournier. What are we doing here?
His own take before we put him to sleep before he could even get on the air.
My
So you want Evan Fournier.
Yeah.
Who's on a bad contract with the Knicks for the next several years. I don't want him.
I don't either. And
guess what? Celtics already had him. That's horrible.
What, do we give him back the trade player exception that was made? 17.1 million. We'll send that for him.
And you guys want him back? No.
No.
No, I don't. He was pretty good for Team France, and I was convinced my Evan Fournier Keefspiracy is when he wears a T-shirt under his jersey, he sucks, which is what he did in Boston. And then when he goes just jersey, he's like a pretty good player. So if you can convince him to only go jersey, he might be okay here. But no, they, even though he can make a few threes if he gets hot, he's still a guy that, I don't know, he lets them down defensively. They had it. That experiment didn't work. Well, you don't want him.
Okay, though, but let
with that money.
Let's really get silly about it, though. You send the exception you got for him to bring him back, and then you turn around and flip him and somebody else who makes a lot of money, like Al Horford, and that's how you get Bradley Beal.
Okay,
how about that?
I don't think the Wizards, as bad a franchise as that is, is going to be bamboozled on Evan Fournier.
How about Bradley Beal, by the way, thinking that, hey, I'm going to re-sign and this team will end up getting better. The GM will go out and get players. How many years do you need to slip on that banana peel?
Not happening.
To realize that the Wizards have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, they're a fringe playoff team with Beal all season.
At
but
best.
Fringe is probably being generous.
Like, well, they're the 10 seed. They get into the play-in game.
Yeah, they're a play-in team.
That's right. I forgot. There's 1 through 10 now. We've lowered the bar even more in the NBA.
20 playoff teams. Never forget LeBron James missed the playoffs when 20 of 30 teams make it.
You're going to love. Yeah, that's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Your LeBron James hate will be a part of the narrative of your life. Like, whenever it's over with and they do the whole first two paragraphs of your obituary says everything, for you it will say, noted LeBron hater.
Couldn't stand LeBron James.
LeBron saved a burning building LeBron full James. Of orphans. Doesn't matter. He's LeBron. He stinks. Yeah. By the way, the Hey Maine podcast is available right now on the Odyssey app. Hey Maine is the podcast. He'll talk to someone he knows a little and is fascinated by a lot. Athletes, musicians, celebrities, just about anyone. He talked to Chris Berman. He also talked to actor, comedian Ben Schwartz as well. Download the Hey Maine podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Time to enter the madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it.
That's my so kids quick. Could get to know his kids, and then me and Tom could go to lunch one time.
That's what I see, and I hope you agree.
Bradley Stevens got the okay, Robin Williams.
All right, here we go. Tuesday, new 30, time for our Kiefer Madness, and we go up to the great country of Canada.
Oh, America's hat.
Saskatoon for this. Now, I'm not sure why this came out now, but this is a great news story where they're sitting there at the desk. Then they throw it over to their reporter, I guess, who's in studio. He's probably 18 or 19 years old and is just fresh out of high school is what it looks
oh
like.
Oh, my God. Not even secondary school.
No. And what they're doing is they're going through a bunch of 911 calls from the year. So again, it's June. I don't know why they just got all this information now, but it is a new story.
Well, some people who run businesses, sometimes your fiscal year is June 1st
maybe
through
maybe
versus
that's what it
calendar
is.
Year. So maybe they're on some kind of weird schedule up there.
Big news in Saskatoon.
Saskatchewan RCMP received more than 350,000 911 calls in 2021, but not every call was a real emergency.
Donovan Mace was on the case and joins us now live in studio. What were some of the situations RCMP highlighted today where emergency services should not have been the first call?
Well, first of all, there was 350,667 calls that were made to RCMP. That was about an...
Yeah, she just said that. We know that. She was talking for 5 seconds. She said how many calls there were. But this guy's like, he's just reading prompter.
The
he's
anchor, the anchor sharked his stats.
He's the guy who was on the case.
Yep.
And then, she hijacked his stats. But he's like, but he needed that line to get to his next line, I think was the big hang up.
Do you think people know who the RCMP is?
No.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police? There we go.
The Mounties.
The Mounties. That's right.
The Mounties.
Jacques Rougeau. They're all the Intercontinental Champions.
Correct. They're the Flying Rougeaus.
Well, first of all, there was 350,667 calls that were made to RCMP. That was about an 8.5% increase from 2020. Many of them being genuine emergencies, but here are the top 10 calls the RCMP said missed the mark in 2021.
So now he's going to go David Letterman style and do a top 10 list. This is the news. This is their news, and they're making fun of the people that called 911.
Do they have a big chalkboard for their top 10 list like Greg Hill show
not
does?
Not a chalkboard, or? But they did have a nice graphic up there.
Okay.
So he was reading while there was another graphic up there.
Was Larry Bud Melman a part of this?
Perhaps. So these were real calls, apparently, they received last year.
At number 10, a caller's computer stopped working, and so they called an officer to try and fix it.
The old computer's not working, so they called the authorities.
My mother-in-law calls me, thank God.
I was going to say.
My printer doesn't work.
Yeah, there's a lot of in between there.
Turn it on.
But she didn't call the Mounties.
She called the Mountie to come help.
At number 9, dispatch was notified of a theft, which generally is a good thing, but this time it just so happened to be a heart of a man whose wife had taken it.
Yeah.
Oh, for a second, I thought he stole a real heart.
No,
like
cut the
somebody
heart out.
Physically physically remove the heart, walking around in like a little cooler.
No, he's trying to be cool in front of his wife, and he calls 911 and says, yeah, my heart's stolen. Bob, my wife. They're like, all right.
And
sir.
They come and arrest him, and then she's like,
quit messing around on the phones.
I got to bail you out. Stay
at
for a
night. 7 may be frustrating at times, but not an emergency, according to the RCMP. A caller said their grandchild would not go to sleep well past their bedtime and hoped there could be some persuasion tactics used by an officer.
I mean, I'm a half-assed parent, right?
Yeah.
I got kids that I know that I don't have to claim legally or whatever. I've joked about that before, even though I love them to death, right?
Sure.
How terrible a parent do you have to be to call the cops?
Yeah.
And be like, this kid won't go to sleep.
Sometimes it's tough, though, to get him to sleep.
Give him a Dramamine. How hard is that?
A little tequila.
Whatever.
Give him a little bit of that.
Your two-thirds here. Here's a little...
Daddy's medicine.
Yeah, here's a little daddy's medicine. Knock him right out.
A little cough syrup.
I mean, seriously, did old man Lanny ever get... I mean, seriously,
how'd
Billy.
Bill go to sleep?
Like, when you couldn't sleep, what old man Lanny do?
Close your eyes. Simple as that.
Close the door behind him.
Close your eyes, lay there.
Try to close your eyes.
You'll throw enough of a fit that eventually the kid will fall asleep.
He even waste his time with counting sheep. Like, just close your eyes. You'll be
close
fine.
Shut him down.
Like, all right, fair enough.
My God.
And number 6, another caller made a call about some suspicious activity in the neighborhood where two cats were seen just wandering around.
What?
Is this guy all right? I think he's having a problem. I'm telling you, this had to be his first show.
Were they Fisher cats? Were they
two cats.
Like enough
two
to
cats
kill you?
Canoodling.
If it's like my cat,
maybe
a nice little kitty, 9-pounder. So what, he kills bunnies.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
That's right. That's their thing. But listen, this guy doesn't see. I think he's losing steam in the bit at this point.
Got
and
it.
Number 6, another caller made a call about some suspicious activity in the neighborhood where two cats were seen just wandering around.
Yeah, you're right. Stumbling over his transitions.
Like, we should have just done a top 5. Top 10's way too many.
Well, the one thing that never gets taught in TV and in radio in a way is how to transition in and out of things.
That
and then
is
you get
an excellent pivot.
Yeah, thank you.
At number 5, the caller was hoping an officer would be able to retrieve their phone, which was left at the golf course. And another call...
Hey, I was in card 81, eh? Can you find it for me? Oh, my God.
Yeah, they needed the old phone.
Wonder what was on that. Oh, we got a phone story later on.
Yes, we do. Yep, you got to be careful.
At number 5, the caller was hoping an officer would be able to retrieve their phone, which was left at the golf course. In another call, a hangry person requested assistance with their lunch order, delayed by a faulty debit machine.
Shime.
Hangry. A hangry person.
Canadian Shime had a problem. Couldn't get the $20 out of the ATM to get his Tim Hortons.
Yep, not great.
And at number 3, a dog who had eaten a cannabis edible, but you better call a vet for that one.
Only one edible, like
a dog eating a cannabis
it's
edible.
A dog, though.
Yeah, it is, but again, but still.
You call the vet is probably the way to go.
Yeah, you would, but
the Mountie isn't going to do much about
the
that.
The dog will probably just go to sleep.
Have a little snooze.
Like, my guy's 80 pounds. If he had one, God forbid, I think he'd be okay.
Probably turn up on a little Pink Floyd and just kind of mellow out a little
bit. Yeah, right,
bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Or he'll just sit with me in the garage and stare at the wall at midnight.
And in at number two, a caller wanted to share dispatch that the RCMP had a much better detention cell than their local police station. And finally...
I don't want to be in here anymore. This is garbage.
That is a career criminal complaint right there, right? I've spent time in the finest jails in the...
This ain't it.
The RCMP had a much better detention cell than their local police station. And finally, at number one, someone who just needed to know what day it was. And while...
What day it was.
What kind of tweaker do you have to be to call the cops to find out what day it is? Like, doesn't he have a phone?
Yeah, I can't imagine that the day of the week is that important to you if that's really what you're doing.
That's a great point.
Right, they all run together. It doesn't really matter. What is it? Is it going to really change your day if it's a Wednesday rather than a Friday?
It's a guy who was on the WEEI weekend schedule and just woke up and be like, oh, crap, I'm booked.
I'm working with Fitzy today.
I don't have to work with Hart. Oh, I'll call in sick. Hey, boss, I thought it was Friday instead of Saturday.
What day it was. And while all these situations may seem like emergencies in the moment, the RCMP want the public to know that the misuse of 911 may delay the service of someone who is in a true crisis, and that 911 should be reserved for people in life-threatening situations. Lee, Morgan.
Yeah, you're not yourself when you're hangry, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Doctor.
Of course.
That was a great pivot.
The guy just wants to jump in there. He's about to be all serious. He's like, listen, you know, don't abuse this, the 911 call. And then he dives in with the, well, you're not your same when you're hangry.
And I imagine the lady the anchor could have been like, yeah, you're a dink.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a Snickers.
A lot to unpack there with those guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go.
It's
Saskatoon.
It's a weird place. I've never been to Canada. Although, if I were to pick, I'd want to go to Saskatoon.
Why not?
Because I think there was a big Bret Hart-Ric Flair match there. Somebody texted in on that. That might have been where Bret Hart won a world title for
Where's
Flair.
Ric Flair's last match going to be?
Nashville. They moved it from a 3,000 seat. I think they went from the fairgrounds in Nashville to the municipal auditorium because they're jumping
more
from 3,500 to a 9,000 seat facility.
Boy.
To watch a 73-year-old that we all love as wrestling fans potentially die in the ring.
Yeah, it was still no word on the opponent, right?
Not yet.
That's so weird. Isn't it next month?
Yeah, end of the month. Well, they still might be working it out. There's a chance it might be Jay Lethal, which would be devastating.
No, nobody wants
you
to see that.
You got
to
put him in with
nobody
an old...
Yes.
Or you got to put him in with, you know, in a tag team match or something like that.
No, I don't think it can be a tag team match.
He's got to be a solo effort.
I think it does.
He's got to go 15 minutes.
See, he's talking about, he's like, yeah, my only concern is he's like, I won't take my blood thinners that I normally take that day, and I have a pacemaker, but I can always pop that back in. There's no need for this match.
So that tells me that Flair's going to blade and bleed.
Yep.
However, every photo I've seen him in since he started drinking again, he's got a gash on his forehead. Like he started drinking again, apparently fell down, wiped out, had a huge gash.
Terrible.
Had one that was recovering on the in the press conference they did.
It's a mess.
They got Mike Keith, the voice of the Tennessee Titans, to run the press conference that they had.
Is that our guy, Mike Keith?
Yeah.
Oh, our guy, Mike Keith. No
Mike
kidding.
Keith. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it was something.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with that. See who we end up fighting. Hopefully everybody survives it.
Billy, you're a wrestling guy.
You watching Ric Flair's last match?
You getting that pay-per-view?
Is it like who's
the full pay-per-view?
Is
not
it really?
Yes. Oh,
not
yeah.
Yes.
No,
no.
Hell, there's good matches on it. Eddie Edwards, who's from Taunton, he's a wrestler in TNA.
Yeah.
They're putting together his old tag team to go again. It's like a dream match, tag team match that they booked and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's apparently good, I guess Killer Cross is going to be on the card.
Sadly, my wrestling interest has faded over time. I still keep an eye on it, but I don't think I'd pay for this. I don't think I want to see it. I struggled watching The Undertaker fight Roman Reigns and those guys.
That was
guys.
A bad one. That was
what I mean?
Worst
and this
one.
Was like before like he had the hip surgery and came back and everything. Like, but seeing him get old and struggle was tough to watch. I don't want to see it with this guy.
And by the way, there's like SummerSlam, I think, is in the Titans Stadium. the night before. So this is on a Sunday. New Japan's running early on Saturday day. There's a whole bunch. It's a giant like wrestling dork fest.
Smoke. Yeah.
But who knows? Else. Ric Flair might die. It's really the reason
it's
to
possible.
Buy the pay-per-view.
It's legit possible.
He could like stroke out in the ring, which would be the way the guy would want to go. If you could pick how you'd want to go, would it be in a wrestling ring?
Yeah, it'd be in a wrestling ring.
Or would it be diving?
Go back to my roots.
Or would you just be pantsless sitting at a local brewery?
Oh, I think eaten by a shark.
That would make you famous.
Yeah, that'd be pretty serious.
Eaten by a shark,
eaten
wow.
Full. Head to toe.
I want mine to be on the biggest platform possible.
Really? We want eyes on you?
Yep.
Super Bowl halftime.
On TV, something like that. Just keel over.
Yeah.
You're famous forever.
Nessun
forever.
Plus.
Google.
Ooh, yeah, Nessun 360.
Nessun Plus in a UMass game? No, I'm only on camera once. It's at the beginning. Because that means UMass would have to have an extra camera to put like it in the booth to get us on again.
Andy Gersh has perished.
Yeah, no.
All eyes on Gersh.
Now, if I were, like, doing the interview midfield after a big game with everybody in the middle, yeah. then yeah. keeled over then.
He died doing what he loved, covering Division I AA football.
That's right. Swimming, or it was either that or swimming in a mound of mashed potatoes at a buffet.
If Gresh died, do you think UMass would have a moment of silence before the next game?
No,
I don't think so.
They
don't
care enough about me.
I don't think they would
do
that.
Do you think that your high school in Western Pennsylvania would have a moment?
We would do one.
With URI?
We would do one here.
URI might. Westerly High School would because I'm in their like Athletic Hall of Fame. So there might be, even though I didn't go to the actual ceremony, I sent my dad. Short sleeve shirt in the photo. They got the photo of the 2010 class, and there's old man Gresh in his short sleeve shirt and his clip on tie.
I respect it.
It's like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I respect that.
I told my mom, I'm like, don't let him wear the short sleeve. She's like, you tell him to
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, he's wearing
my dad's a short sleeve tie guy.
Oh yeah,
short sleeve tie guy.
Clip on tie too. So
oh no,
get
he
it
tied
off.
His. He tied his, but old man Landy's knots are fat.
I can't tie a tie.
Huge. Not even like. Novelty Merrill Hodge big.
Like a softball. Like,
yeah, it was obnoxious.
Wait, you can't tie a tie?
No, I can't tie a tie. Nope.
Really?
I wear zipper ties on TV if I gotta wear one.
You wear bolo ties?
No.
Is that a man card?
No, they make...
That phrase doesn't exist, no. John. That phrase is cringe.
They make these things that are called zipper ties where the knot, like Billy was talking about,
yeah.
slides up and down on a zipper.
Is that right?
It is the greatest invention on earth.
It's not that hard to tie a tie, though.
It is.
It's not.
It's Plus, not. What's great is when you're on camera once, you put that tie, you
pop it off.
Pop it right off. Done. Yep. See you later.
Nobody then never see it again.
Have
Nobody
no
knows
idea.
The wiser.
That's right. Huh. I've worn them on TV for probably 15 years. Found them at the, I found them at the Tall and Fat store because some of those chubbies with sausage fingers can't tie a tie. So zip it up.
At the old fat and obese store, I would go in there and check out the gear.
The Largo store. There you go. Oh, boy. I don't know how to segue into Deshaun Watson.
No.
We might try next.
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
The NFL's investigation into Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson reaches a critical stage on Tuesday. That is when Watson will appear in person in front of retired judge Sue Robinson, who's been jointly appointed by the NFL and the NFLPA to decide Watson's fate. The NFL will present the cases of five women who accused Watson of sexual assault and sexual misconduct. The NFL, sources say, is pushing for an indefinite suspension of Watson for violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy, while his lawyers and lawyers for the NFLPA are pushing for a far shorter suspension, perhaps as few as zero games.
So I didn't know this until I was kind of alerted. And by the way, that was Ian Rappaport, friend of the show of NFL Network, breaking down what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Somebody smartened me up to the, before you go in for a hearing with the NFL, that by, I think by the rule of the CBA, they kind of give you the Iggy before you go in, at least I think it's like 10 days ahead of the hearing. The NFL tells you sort of what they're thinking in terms of how long you're going to be suspended. And when I'd always thought a year, they'll knock it down. But apparently the NFL is looking for an indefinite suspension that is at least a year, which then falls into the, you have to show us for a year that you're worthy of being reinstated back into the game and all that kind of stuff. And it feels like this is getting worse for Watson, even though we're almost at the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And like, they need to make some sort of decision here in the next couple of months, right? And I think you would hope so. Again, it is the NFL, but I still think the full year is on the table, and then there's always the appeal and the reduction. And there's that kind of thing where he might not serve a 17-game suspension. And what's kind of, like, from the outside, what might be kind of clouding it to some people is last year he didn't play all season, but it actually had nothing to do with this.
That's amazing.
Like, it's not like, oh, it's time served. No, there's no time served. This was all his fight with the Texans last year as to why he didn't play. And so now on top of it, you might have a quarterback in his prime, one of the best in the league, miss two full seasons. That's at least on the board. He might miss two full seasons for not liking the owner and then having like 1,000 masseuses, like in this whole thing. And even if they're dismissing some of them, they're not dismissing all of them.
Right.
And there's enough for the league, because as we know, the league doesn't need these guys to have criminal charges for them to be suspended. And that's definitely what's going to happen to Watson.
Well, there was a report put out by Kalen Kaler, who I do believe has left the MMQB and is now a defector, which I do believe is the old Deadspin.
Okay.
Anyway. And the lawsuit that has been filed against the Texans for enabling Deshaun Watson, I'm trying to clean this up the best I can.
All right.
The lawsuit also says that employees of the massage therapy business contracted by the Texans. So apparently the Texans had these massage therapists and I guess use of either a private room or a hotel or something like that, were aware that Watson had, and these are the quotes, humped the table and left a, I won't use their words, left evidence. Let's put it that way.
DNA.
Yeah.
Was left on the scene.
Let's put it this way.
Got it.
Well, my Aunt Fanny,
oh my God,
sitting her big Fanny in some chair at a family reunion would leave a spot because she's sweaty.
Sure.
It was like that, but it wasn't because they were sweating.
I got it the first time.
Well, for those who need the picture painted for them.
Oh, painted, all right.
I think we need to bring Aunt Fanny into the picture.
Yeah, that was a weird next person to bring.
Do you not understand what I'm saying? Well, let's bring my aunt into it.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with her. So,
if you met Aunt Fanny,
what would your grandmother do in that situation?
What, the Aunt Fanny situation?
Yeah.
She wasn't as sweaty.
No.
My Nana, rest in peace. She was not a sweaty person at all. The thing with Watson, though, is like nothing really surprises you at this point. All these different stories that come up. Am I right?
You know, we can hear like, anything that
my
he
God,
would,
like,
right,
he was
in the back of a minivan getting a massage or something.
Well,
right,
from Jump Street, I thought it was weird because they're like, well, these 25 women all allege that he more than crossed the line. But hold on a second. He's got like 30 women who say that he was fine. So I'm like, wait a minute. That's 60 women in a year that are just giving him massages? And those are the ones that are willing to come forward one way or the other?
That's odd. It's just
so
odd.
Weird. It absolutely is. And it once again proves that you don't know anybody, because the first, 5 years of his career, everybody's like, Deshaun Watson, great guy. There's nothing wrong with Deshaun Watson. Look at him. He's keeping his nose clean, all this stuff. And then, holy smokes. Like, there's just been one person after the other saying all this stuff that he did. So, and then Cleveland still trades for him, gives him $1 zillion guaranteed, and now they're like, oh, wait, when is he going to play? And, this is looking worse and worse. Maybe we shouldn't have done this.
Well, there are those.
At least you're having doubts.
Well, there's the two schools of thought that Cleveland gave him the money to pay off 20 of those people, right?
Yeah.
And then there is the NFL is pissed that they gave him a $1 million salary this year. So they want to try to push that suspension into where it really affects him in the pocketbook.
Right.
But if they get him for a year, he's still got $200 million guaranteed on that deal and got a big check already. By the way, the way the NFL, and this is to not defend Deshaun Watson in any way, shape, or form, but we know how the NFL operates. It's now set up to where it goes to Roger Goodell if there is a beef on this whole thing, and he can adjust the suspension up or down. So he can lessen it, but if he says, nope, I want to add to it, he can then go over the top and do that, which, you know, it's not like Deshaun Watson is a character that you would necessarily root for. Tom Brady for footballs, hey, don't screw him, Goodell. A guy like this, if Goodell screws him, people aren't going to be like, I defend that guy.
Go ahead.
Unless you're in Cleveland because your team stinks or at least hasn't been able to get over the hump. Maybe they don't stink. The Red Sox don't stink. They just stunk last night in Toronto. And how good the AL East has been since May 19, the numbers will shock you. That's next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.